A Protector, translated by Bhikkhu Sajjato. Lodgings. Mendicants. A mendicant with five factors, using and frequenting lodgings with five factors, will soon realise the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and live, having realised it with their own insight due to the ending of defilements. And how does a mendicant have five factors? It's when a noble disciple has faith in the realised one's awakening, that blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. They are rarely ill or unwell. Their stomach digests well, being neither too hot nor too cold, but just right and fit for meditation. They're not devious or deceitful. They reveal themselves honestly to the teacher or sensible spiritual companions. They live with energy roused up for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities. They're strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. They're wise. They have the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. That's how a mendicant has five factors. And how does a lodging have five factors? It's when a lodging is neither too far nor too near, but convenient for coming and going. It's not bothered by people by day, and at night it's quiet and still. There's little disturbance from flies, mosquitoes, wind, sun, and reptiles. While staying in that lodging, the necessities of life, robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick are easy to come by. And in that lodging there are several senior mendicants who are very learned, inheritors of the heritage, who have memorized the teachings, the monastic law, and the outlines. From time to time they go up to those mendicants and ask them questions. Why, sir, does it say this? What does that mean? Those venerables clarify what is unclear, reveal what is obscure, and dispel doubt regarding the many doubtful matters. That's how a lodging has five factors. A mendicant with five factors, using and frequenting lodgings with five factors, will soon realise the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and live, having realised it, with their own insight due to the ending of defilements. Five factors. Mendicants, in this teaching and training, a mendicant who has given up five factors and possesses five factors is called consummate, accomplished, a supreme person. And how has a mendicant given up five factors? It's when a mendicant has given up sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. That's how a mendicant has given up five factors. And how does a mendicant have five factors? It's when a mendicant has the entire spectrum of an adept's ethics, immersion, wisdom, freedom, and knowledge and vision of freedom. That's how a mendicant has five factors. In this teaching and training, a mendicant who has given up five factors and possesses five factors is called consummate, accomplished, a supreme person. Sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and doubt are not found in a mendicant at all. One like this is accomplished in an adept's ethics, an adept's immersion, and freedom and knowledge. Possessing these five factors and rid of five factors, in this teaching and training they're called consummate. Fetters. Mendicants, there are 10 fetters. What 10? The 5 lower fetters and the 5 higher fetters. What are the 5 lower fetters? substantialist view, doubt, misapprehension of precepts and observances, sensual desire and ill will. These are the five lower fetters. What are the five higher fetters? Desire for rebirth in the realm of luminous form, desire for rebirth in the formless realm, conceit, restlessness, and ignorance. These are the five higher fetters. These are the 10 fetters. Hard-heartedness. Mendicants, a monk or nun who has not given up 5 kinds of hard-heartedness and has not severed 5 shackles of the heart can expect decline, not growth, in skilful qualities, whether by day or by night. What are the 5 kinds of hard-heartedness they haven't given up? Firstly, a mendicant has doubts about the teacher. They're uncertain, undecided, and lacking confidence. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the first kind of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. Furthermore, a mendicant has doubts about the teaching. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the second kind of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. Furthermore, a mendicant has doubts about the Sangha. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the third kind of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. Furthermore, a mendicant has doubts about the training. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the fourth kind of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. Furthermore, a mendicant is angry and upset with their spiritual companions, resentful and closed off. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the fifth kind of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. These are the 5 kinds of hard-heartedness they haven't given up. What are the 5 shackles of the heart they haven't severed? Firstly, a mendicant isn't free of greed, desire, fondness, thirst, passion, and craving for sensual pleasures. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the first shackle of the heart they haven't severed. Furthermore, a mendicant isn't free of greed for the body. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the second shackle of the heart they haven't severed. Furthermore, they're not free of greed for form. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the third shackle of the heart they haven't severed. Furthermore, they eat as much as they like until their belly is full, then indulge in the pleasures of sleeping, lying down, and drowsing. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the fourth shackle of the heart they haven't severed. Furthermore, they lead the spiritual life, wishing to be reborn in one of the orders of gods. By this precept or observance, or fervent austerity, or spiritual life, may I become one of the gods. This being so, their mind doesn't incline toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. This is the fifth shackle of the heart they haven't severed. These are the 5 shackles of the heart they haven't severed. A monk or nun who has not given up these 5 kinds of hard-heartedness and has not severed these 5 shackles of the heart can expect decline, not growth, in skilful qualities, whether by day or by night. It's like the moon in the waning fortnight. Whether by day or by night, its beauty, roundness, light and diameter and circumference only decline. In the same way, a monk or nun who has not given up these 5 kinds of hard-heartedness and has not severed these five shackles of the heart can expect decline, not growth, in skillful qualities, whether by day or by night. A monk or nun who has given up five kinds of hard-heartedness and has severed five shackles of the heart can expect growth, not decline, in skillful qualities, whether by day or by night. What are the five kinds of hard-heartedness they've given up? A mendicant has no doubts about the teacher, no doubts about the teaching, no doubts about the sangha, no doubts about the training, and a mendicant is not angry and upset with their spiritual companions, not resentful or closed off. This being so, their mind inclines toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. These are the five kinds of hard-heartedness they've given up. What are the five shackles of the heart they've severed? A mendicant is rid of greed, desire, fondness, thirst, passion, and craving for sensual pleasures. They are rid of greed for the body. They are rid of greed for form. They don't eat as much as they like until their belly is full, then indulge in the pleasures of sleeping, lying down, and drowsing. And they don't lead the spiritual life wishing to be reborn in one of the orders of gods. By this precept or observance, or fervent austerity, or spiritual life, may I become one of the gods. This being so, their mind inclines toward keenness, commitment, persistence, and striving. These are the five shackles of the heart they've severed. A monk or nun who has given up these five kinds of hard-heartedness and has severed these five shackles of the heart can expect growth, not decline, in skillful qualities, whether by day or by night. It's like the moon in the waxing fortnight. Whether by day or by night, its beauty, roundness, light, and diameter and circumference only grow. In the same way, a monk or nun who has given up these five kinds of hard-heartedness and has severed these five shackles of the heart can expect growth, not decline, in skillful qualities, whether by day or by night. Diligence. Mendicants, the realized one, the perfected one, the fully awakened Buddha, is said to be the best of all sentient beings, be they footless, with 2 feet, 4 feet, or many feet, with form or formless, with perception or without perception, or with neither perception nor non-perception. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. The footprints of all creatures that walk can fit inside an elephant's footprint, so an elephant's footprint is said to be the biggest of them all. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. The rafters of a bungalow all lean to the peak, slope to the peak, and meet at the peak, so the peak is said to be the topmost of them all. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. Of all kinds of fragrant root, spikenard is said to be the best. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. Of all kinds of fragrant heartwood, red sandalwood is said to be the best. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. Of all kinds of fragrant flower, jasmine is said to be the best. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. All lesser kings are vassals of a wheel-turning monarch, so the wheel-turning monarch is said to be the foremost of them all. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. The radiance of all the stars is not worth a 1/16th part of the moon's radiance, so the moon's radiance is said to be the best of them all. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. In the autumn, the heavens are clear and cloudless, and as the sun is rising to the firmament, having dispelled all the darkness of space, it shines and glows and radiates. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. All the great rivers, that is, the Ganges, Yamuna, Acharyavarti, Sarabhu, and Mahi, flow, slant, slope, and incline towards the ocean, and the ocean is said to be the greatest of them. In the same way, all skillful qualities are rooted in diligence and meet at diligence, and diligence is said to be the best of them. Worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods. Mendicants, these 10 people are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. What 10? A realized one, a perfected one, a fully awakened Buddha, an independent Buddha, one freed both ways, one freed by wisdom, a direct witness, one attained to view, one freed by faith, a follower by faith, a follower of teachings, a lamb of the flock. These are the 10 people who are worthy of offerings dedicated to the gods, worthy of hospitality, worthy of a religious donation, worthy of greeting with joined palms, and are the supreme field of merit for the world. A protector, first. Mendicants, you should live with a protector, not without one. Living without a protector is suffering. There are 10 qualities that serve as protector. What 10? Firstly, a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well, and resorting for alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. This is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is very learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, rehearsing them, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant has good friends, companions, and associates. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is easy to admonish, having qualities that make them easy to admonish. They're patient and take instruction respectfully. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is deft and tireless in a diverse spectrum of duties for their spiritual companions, understanding how to go about things in order to complete and organize the work. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant loves the teachings and is a delight to converse with, being full of joy in the teaching and training. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant lives with energy roused up for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities. They are strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is content with any kind of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is mindful. They have utmost mindfulness and alertness, and can remember and recall what was said and done long ago. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is wise. They have the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. This too is a quality that serves as protector. You should live with a protector, not without one. Living without a protector is suffering. These are the 10 qualities that serve as protector. A protector, second. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, Anatta Pindika's monastery. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. Mendicants? Venerable sir, they replied. The Buddha said this. Mendicants, you should live with a protector, not without one. Living without a protector is suffering. There are 10 qualities that serve as protector. Firstly, a mendicant is ethical, restrained in the monastic code, conducting themselves well and resorting for alms in suitable places. Seeing danger in the slightest fault, they keep the rules they've undertaken. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is very learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well-phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, reinforcing them by recitation, mentally scrutinizing them, and comprehending them theoretically. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle, or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant has good friends, companions and associates. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle, and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is easy to admonish, having qualities that make them easy to admonish. They're patient and take instruction respectfully. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is deft and tireless in a diverse spectrum of duties for their spiritual companions, understanding how to go about things in order to complete and organize the work. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant loves the teachings and is a delight to converse with, being full of joy in the teaching and training. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant lives with energy roused up for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities. They are strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle, or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle, and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This, too, is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is content with any kind of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle, or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle, and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is mindful. They have utmost mindfulness and alertness, and can remember and recall what was said and done long ago. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle, or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle, and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. Furthermore, a mendicant is wise. They have the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. Knowing this, the mendicants, whether senior, middle, or junior, think that mendicant is worth advising and instructing. Being treated with such kindness by the senior, middle, and junior mendicants, that mendicant can expect only growth, not decline. This too is a quality that serves as protector. You should live with a protector, not without one. Living without a protector is suffering. These are the 10 qualities that serve as protector. That is what the Buddha said. Satisfied, the mendicants approved what the Buddha said. Abodes of the Noble Ones, first. There are these 10 abodes of the Noble Ones in which the Noble Ones of the past, present, and future abide. What 10? A mendicant has given up 5 factors, is endowed with 6 factors, has a single guard, has 4 supports, has eliminated idiosyncratic interpretations of the truth, has totally given up searching, has pure intentions, has stilled the physical process, and is well freed in mind and well freed by wisdom. These are the 10 abodes of the Noble Ones in which the Noble Ones of the past, present, and future abide. Abodes of the Noble Ones, second. At one time the Buddha was staying in the land of the Kurus, near the Kuru town named Kamasadhamma. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. There are these 10 abodes of the Noble Ones in which the Noble Ones of the past, present, and future abide. What 10? A mendicant has given up 5 factors, possesses 6 factors, has a single guard, has 4 supports, has eliminated idiosyncratic interpretations of the truth, has totally given up searching, has unsullied intentions, has stilled the physical process, and is well freed in mind and well freed by wisdom. And how has a mendicant given up 5 factors? It's when a mendicant has given up sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. That's how a mendicant has given up 5 factors. And how does a mendicant possess 6 factors? It's when a mendicant, seeing a sight with their eyes, is neither happy nor sad. They remain equanimous, mindful, and aware. Hearing a sound with their ears, smelling an odour with their nose, tasting a flavour with their tongue, feeling a touch with their body, knowing an idea with their mind, they're neither happy nor sad. They remain equanimous, mindful, and aware. That's how a mendicant possesses 6 factors. And how does a mendicant have a single guard? It's when a mendicant's heart is guarded by mindfulness. That's how a mendicant has a single guard. And how does a mendicant have four supports? After appraisal, a mendicant uses some things, endures some things, avoids some things, and gets rid of some things. That's how a mendicant has four supports. And how has a mendicant eliminated idiosyncratic interpretations of the truth? Different ascetics and Brahmins have different idiosyncratic interpretations of the truth. For example, the cosmos is eternal, or not eternal, or finite, or infinite. The soul and the body are the same thing, or they are different things. After death, a realized one still exists, or no longer exists, or both still exists and no longer exists, or neither still exists nor no longer exists. A mendicant has dispelled, eliminated, thrown out, rejected, let go of, given up, and relinquished all these. That's how a mendicant has eliminated idiosyncratic interpretations of the truth. And how has a mendicant totally given up searching? It's when they've given up searching for sensual pleasures, for continued existence, and for a spiritual life. That's how a mendicant has totally given up searching. And how does a mendicant have unsullied intentions? It's when a mendicant has given up intentions of sensuality, malice, and cruelty. That's how a mendicant has unsullied intentions. And how has a mendicant stilled the physical process? It's when, giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, they enter and remain in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness. That's how a mendicant has stilled the physical process. And how is a mendicant well freed in mind? It's when a mendicant's mind is freed from greed, hate, and delusion. That's how a mendicant is well freed in mind. And how is a mendicant well freed by wisdom? It's when a mendicant understands, I've given up greed, hate, and delusion, cut them off at the root, made them like a palm stump, obliterated them so they're unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant's mind is well freed by wisdom. Mendicants, whether in the past, future, or present, all noble ones abide in these same 10 abodes of the noble ones. These are the 10 abodes of the noble ones in which the noble ones of the past, present, and future abide.